I guess I was just like, is this how it ends?
I'm trying to make sure I don't fall into despair and become complacent just because everything looks like it's going up in flames.
Hi, welcome to What Am I Doing With My Life? I'm Paul Gray, your host and fellow questioner of What Am I Doing With My Life? This episode is about next steps after college and moving back in with your parents, but there's something for everyone on this podcast. Thanks for joining me, and I hope you find what you're looking for. Now, let's go meet our first guest. Okay, so I know how I know you, but our listeners don't know how I know you. So why don't you tell them a little bit about how we met from your perspective?
Yeah. In fourth grade, I needed someone to bully, and you were the clear target.
That's not even accurate, bro. We were in different classes.
Yeah, no, we were in different classes. Wasn't it like a star test?
I mean, maybe.
I don't know.
I don't remember meeting you until that field trip.
Oh, we had the fourth grade field trip that was a Texas tour field trip, right?
Yep.
But yeah, we met then. We dragged each other to church a few times. Our families did. And I mean, we stayed friends through middle school.
How many years? I don't know. Too many years. But the point is, we're freaking like 23 now. I'm still here in my craft room / dinner table in front of a bunch of pillows making a podcast.
That's true. There are a bunch of pillows behind the microphone right now.
Did you see yourself in my craft room in front of a bunch of pillows at 23?
You know what, Paul? I actually, when I think about it, I don't think I didn't think this would happen. I thought I would be in medical school. I thought I would be, you know, somewhere making $1 million. Anything but this. But, you know, this is cool. And we're still friends. So, I mean, that's all that's really important, right?
This is Franklin Fitzgerald. He's one of my best friends and obviously one of my oldest friends. But to save y'all a bunch of time from listening to our banter, I went ahead and just skipped to the content for you. What are you doing now?
Well, I work for a medical device company called Orthofix. They sell a lot of devices targeted towards like spine surgery and bone growth therapy. Their big product is called a bone growth stimulator. And through a lot of cool science, it makes your bones grow crazy. I did not think I'd be working for this company, but I mean, it's a good gig for now.
It's like Uber for bone stimulants.
Yeah, I'm a glorified delivery driver. I'm 22 years old with a bachelor's of science in biomedical science from Texas A&M, and I drive around Houston all day delivering medical devices.
But hey, it's better than what you came from.
Yeah, no, that's true.
At a small spine practice, we'll say that.
But nevertheless, that was a rough workplace. But because of that, I was able to get this job during this really difficult period in my life where things are crazy. I got into a car accident a few weeks ago, so I'm not even driving my own car right now. Unfortunately, I live at home, but you know, rent is free at home. I guess there's the positive.
Are you still applying for med school, or are you going to continue to work in between?
So I'm not going to apply to med school right now. It just doesn't make sense. It would honestly be a waste. I just don't have the scores for it, and I need to just boost my GPA. Really, that's all I'm missing. I spoke to an advisor, and she said, oh, you got all the extracurriculars.
What's your GPA at right now?
I'm sitting at a 3.0, about a 3.0.
And what do they look for like a med student?
I mean, you need at least above a 3.5. That's kind of the ideal situation if you really want to be competitive. And then as for MCAT score, you want at least a 5.10 to be like, I mean, a 5.10 is a good score, you know, and it's a hard test. I've taken it twice, unfortunately, and I still haven't gotten that. And which is, I mean, that's fine. You know, we try again, but builds character, right?
How do you deal with, you know, not getting into med school? I mean, you've taken the MCAT twice. You've had sucky jobs living with your parents. our parents are very similar.
Yeah, we have.
So I know how that is, but I mean, like, what do you do?
I would say my current situation is doing nothing but humbling me. And yeah. I've never been more humbled by any situation than my current life situation, you know. I mean, you said it, I'm living with my parents. I'm literally driving I drove my mom's car here.
But, I mean, that's kind of the point, though, isn't it? Like, life is all about adjustments.
Yeah, it's adjustments constantly being redirected. The only thing left for me to lose here is like a living space at this point. The reality is only God is going to help you accomplish anything. I'm trying to make sure I don't fall into despair and become complacent just because everything looks like it's going up in flames.
My next guest is Maddie Williams. We've been friends since freshman year of college, and she was actually part of the friend group that I met my wife in. So let's see how her post-grad life is going.
Tell me a little bit about what you want to do. Like, what job do you want to do?
Right now I want to be a mixed practiced veterinarian, which means that I would see not only dogs and cats, but I would also see horses, cattle, sheep, pigs, basically anything that would be legal in my license to see. That's kind of what I want to do, just kind of a jack of all trades. And so that process is long and tiring and frustrating in a lot of ways. The application has a whole lot that you have to fill out, extracurriculars dating back to the beginning of high school, awards, shadowing hours, working hours, essays. And the biggest challenge in all of it is that veterinary school is very difficult to get into because there's so many qualified candidates applying for a small number of seats. There's only, and I don't remember the exact number, but there's something around 26 veterinary schools in the United States that each have maybe 100 to 130 seats per class. And when you have all of these qualified people, you know, competing for the same seats, it becomes harder and harder and harder to get in. And I make jokes like, you know, you have to cure cancer before you can actually go to veterinary school because it is so difficult to even get your foot in the door to even get an interview.
Okay. So did you get in on the first try?
I did not. The first try, I was still in school. I had most of my prerequisites complete. I applied to 4 schools and I got 0 interviews. Everything was just a rejection point blank. And honestly, it was really crushing because, you know, you have this expectation that like you're going to be the exception and then you're not. And it kind of hurts.
What's the typical amount of times that people usually apply before they get in?
2 to 3. Typically, if you get in on your first try, you have this incredible GPA. And by incredible, I mean 3.8 or higher. Or you have some amazing thing that you've overcome at a young age, something rare.
I'm sure that can get pretty costly, too.
Yes. Veterinary school applications are so expensive. Basically, all the U.S. schools, except for Texas schools have their own application system, which is kind of weird. But everybody else uses this system called VIMCAS. And there is a fee to use the website, but there's also a fee for each school and then supplemental application fees for each school. And so it starts to add up pretty quickly. A lot of people that I've talked to have spent a year before their application cycle saving up to just apply. And, you know, the more schools you apply to, the more costly it gets. But also, the more schools you apply to, the higher chance you have of getting in. And so it's just kind of one of those, like, where's my happy medium? What am I willing to do? What do I have the Do I have the stamina to apply to, you know, X amount of schools? Because those applications are exhausting.
So you didn't get in on your first try. You graduate from A&M. Where do you go from there?
Well, I graduated in August of 22, and then I moved home. And everything kind of pointed towards, like, getting some more working hours in the veterinary clinic. And so I moved home, and I worked at a clinic that I used to shadow at, and I lived with my parents so I could save money. And I actually ended up, you know, the first few months were kind of rough because my new job, they just kind of throw you in, and if you can see, you have to decide, are you going to sink or are you going to swim? And there's 3 months of, like, trying to swim, and I finally, like, started getting it. And after that, like, I actually really started really enjoying my job and learning. It's a really, really good learning experience.
So in that 3 months, you're trying to learn your job, you're trying to get used to being back at home with your parents. What's going through your mind?
I guess I was just like, is this how it ends? Like, for a while, I was like, is this like what veterinary medicine is like? Because I was also applying to vet school at the same time as all of that. I think I was so consumed by stress, and every part of my life was very stressful at the time, that I guess I just was pushing to survive and just trying to dream of whatever comes next. I don't feel that way as much now, but I definitely did for, you know, a good 3 months after starting my job.
What do you think started to make it better?
Well, I submitted my applications. That really helped. And honestly, I think it was just time. I got waitlisted for one school. The interview was on Zoom. The other interview that I received, I was invited to an interview in New York City for January, and it was an in-person interview, and I found out about a month after I interviewed that I actually got in. So I'll be going to vet school in the fall.
And is that school in New York?
It is not in New York. It is, in fact, in Dublin, Ireland. And so I am going to vet school in a different country.
Tell me a little bit about that. Is that exciting? Is it scary? Is it both?
Right now, it's definitely just exciting. I know that, you know, 2 weeks before I'm supposed to put my butt on the plane, I'm going to, like, start being like, oh my gosh, like, am I sure I want to do this? Just because, like, you know, it's scary to move to a whole new different country when you don't know anyone there.
What has been, like, the best thing and, like, the worst thing about living with your parents?
Gosh, I get along with my parents very well, so there are a lot of positives. Probably, like, the number one negative is I'm kind of used to doing my own thing after being gone at college. Not, like, you know, I can still kind of, you know, if I want to go somewhere, I can just go. But it's more of, like, well, I want to do things in the house this way, or I want to do things in the house that way, because I've just kind of evolved differently after being gone. And it's like, you know, it's just like, doesn't fit into like how we have always done things at home. So I'm like, oh, like I want to do this, or I want to do that. And so it's just, you know, a little bit different. It just feels weird because sometimes it feels like all of a sudden I have rules that it didn't have for a few years. But I guess that's just kind of part of like living with your family again.
So what would you say is like the main thing that kept you going through all of this?
I realized that I'm sure there are a lot of different career paths that I could take and be satisfied and like my job decently. But I don't think that I would have found any other job opportunity that I would have been excited about work and feel like I had purpose. I think of myself in the future, and I think of like how much joy I get out of being a technician right now. And I think about how much joy I get from helping other people with their animals, no matter, you know, what purpose they serve. I think about like that being my whole life, except I'm the boss and I get to actually like cure the animals instead of just like help hold or help dispense medication. And so that's just dream. It's just kept me going.
That's it for this episode of What Am I Doing With My Life? I hope my friend's stories were able to give you a little bit of hope and know that you're not alone in this thing. But don't give up just yet. We've got more stories coming up in later episodes.